In the morning when I awoke, the bicycle riders and their following cars had been on the road for 3 hours. I had coffee and the papers in bed, and then dressed and took my bathing suit down to the beach. Everything was fresh and cool and damp in the early morning. Nurses in uniform and in peasant costume walked under the trees with children. The Spanish children were beautiful. Some bootblacks sat together under a tree talking to a soldier. The soldier had only one arm. The tide was in, and there was a good breeze and a surf on the beach. I undressed in one of the bath cabins, crossed the narrow line of beach, and went into the water. I swam out, trying to swim through the rollers, but having to dive sometimes. Then in the quiet water, I turned and floated. Floating, I saw only the sky and felt the drop and lift of the swells. I swam back to the surf and coasted in face down on a big roller, then turned and swam, trying to keep in the trough and not have a wave break over me. It made me tired, swimming in the trough, and I turned and swam out to the raft. The water was buoyant and cold. It felt as though you could never sink. I swam slowly. It seemed like a long swim with the high tide, and then pulled up on the raft and sat, dripping on the boards that were becoming hot in the sun. I looked around at the bay, the old town, the casino, the line of trees along the promenade, and the big hotels with their white porches and gold-lettered names. Off on the right, almost closing the harbor, was a green hill with a castle. The raft rocked with the motion of the water. On the other side of the narrow gap that led into the open sea was another high headland. I thought I would like to swim across the bay, but I was afraid of cramp. I sat in the sun and watched the bathers on the beach. They looked very small. After a while, I stood up, gripped with my toes on the edge of the raft as it tipped with my weight, and dove cleanly and deeply to come up through the lightening water, blew the salt water out of my head, and swam slowly and steadily in to shore. After I was dressed and had paid for the bath cabin, I walked back to the hotel. The bicycle racers had left several copies of Loto around, and I gathered them up in the reading room and took them out and sat in an easy chair in the sun to read about and catch up on French sporting life. While I was sitting there, the concierge came out with a blue envelope in his hand. "A telegram for you, sir." I poked my finger along under the fold that was fastened down, spread it open, and read it. It had been forwarded from Paris. "Could you come? Hotel Montaigne, Madrid. Am rather in trouble. Brett." I tipped the concierge and read the message again. A postman was coming along the sidewalk. He turned into the hotel. He had a big mustache and looked very military. He came out of the hotel again. The concierge was just behind him. "Here's another telegram for you, sir." "Thank you," I said. I opened it. It was forwarded from Pamplona. "Could you come? Hotel Montaigne, Madrid. Am rather in trouble, Brett." The concierge stood there waiting for another tip, probably. "What time is there a train for Madrid?" "He left at 9 this morning. There is a slow train at 11 and the Sud Express at 10 tonight." "Get me a berth on the Sud Express. Do you want the money now?"
"Just as you wish," he said. "I will have it put on the bill."
"Do that." Well, that meant San Sebastian all shot to hell. I suppose, vaguely, I had expected something of the sort. I saw the concierge standing in the doorway. "Bring me a telegram form, please." He brought it, and I took out my fountain pen and printed, "Lady Ashley, Hotel Montaigne, Madrid, arriving Sud Express, tomorrow, love, Jake." That seemed to handle it. That was it. send the girl off with one man, introduce her to another to go off with him, now go and bring her back, and sign the wire with love. That was it, all right. I went in to lunch.